Well, we know we have overwhelming demand for dual language in Spanish English. We have a very successful program at Levitan with over 100 parents on a waiting list. We also polled pre-K parents to see if they would be interested in both in Spanish English and the other one we may offer, which is Mandarin English. There was overwhelming support and interest for both.
Other than the 100 parents on the waiting list and your polling of parents that suggests there's strong demand for dual language, are there other reasons you decided to add these programs?
Yes, so over the last 5 years, our English language learning population has increased by 50% in Providence. And so we need to figure out ways that we can reach these children and provide them with quality education. And dual language has worked well for us. So we want to expand it for that reason as well. We think it's just a great way to teach kids.
And Christopher, Mary, you yourself are bilingual. What was that like for you when you were in school?
Well, I lived for 4 years when I was a kid in rural Puerto Rico, and then I lived on the Mexican border in El Paso and had many Spanish-speaking friends. My mom made me take Latin in high school, so technically I'm trilingual, although don't test me in Latin. But in college, I thought that learning Spanish would be a really good way to communicate in the 21st century. And so I took courses and studied abroad in Mexico and in the Dominican Republic. My Spanish probably sounds a little Puerto Rican, a little Mexican, a little Dominican, and very gringo. But I find I can communicate just well, and I think it's a wonderful skill to have, especially in a city like Providence.
Can you explain a little bit how these programs work? Like, what's the balance of English to Spanish or Mandarin in a dual language school?
The basic understanding, you were learning similar content in two languages. So you learn something in Spanish, you learn the same content in English. And when it's done very well, the two complement each other. And so you're getting dual language acquisition while you're also reinforcing the skills. And many of our kids need this this reinforcement. So it's kind of, not only are you using language well, but you're getting better results because you're getting the content in a deeper way.
What are the challenges to expanding dual language offerings? Are there enough teachers, for example, trained to do this?
No, I mean, as a district, regardless of whether you're doing dual language or bilingual education or any of the other ways that we try to teach our students, we need more teachers. So we've been very public on this, and we will be trying to recruit teachers. And we're also looking for creative ways to provide teachers that we have who are interested with ELL certification.
And we should say that ELL means English language learners, so yeah. Non-native English speakers.
Yeah, I was at one of our parent meetings, and they have a big blue sign that says jargon on it. And whenever someone like me says ELL, parents hold up a sign that says jargon, and we have to explain it. So you just held up a big blue sign for me.
Christopher Mayer, what's your long-term goal with this program? How large would you like to see it become?
Well, if the program is successful, then we should keep on growing it as much as it will help our student population. I think that dual language acquisition is a 21st century skill that I want my own children to have, but maybe there are others who don't. We're not turning the whole district over to dual language instruction overnight.
I'm going to raise the jargon flag for just a minute here and ask, when you say it's a 21st century skill, what do you mean by that?
I think that we live in a global community and that you should be able to speak more than one language if that is possible. And as a public education system, what I view is what our core goal is, it's to prepare children for jobs and in the future, for them to be successful in life. And what that means is I want children to have options when they graduate. That's at the core of it. You know, too many of our children graduate with very limited options. And when you learn a second language, your options open up dramatically. My first job in teaching, I would not have gotten if I didn't speak Spanish. Teaching is just one example of many different roles around the world where having multiple languages is what we need to be able to do to be competitive. Mandarin and French, when you think about the business world of the years to come, if you look at where the jobs are going to be, the populations of those countries that speak Mandarin and French are going to grow dramatically. So if you're interested in becoming part of the global community and working, these are going to be skills that are going to be applicable in the future even more than they are now.
Christopher Mayer is the interim superintendent of the Providence Public School Department. We've been talking about dual language programs. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation, and New England Institute of Technology's Center for Technology and Industry.